So we're looking at in this part of the course at offerings, at worship. That's the first week. And this is something that you say every time you bow to the shrine. You may never have seen this before. For those who are listening, it's an image which has some squiggles on it. One squiggle is white, one squiggle is red, and one squiggle is blue. Now, you probably intuited that this is Om, Ah, and Hul. Yeah? How do we spell them in English?
O-M or A-U-M?
A-U-M is Hindu.
Okay,
yeah.
O-M.
O-M, yep.
I don't know. Hum is H-U-M.
Yes.
Hum? Yeah.
But it's not an M sound.
It sounds like hum.
It's an NG, hum. So it's written, it's got an M with a diacritic above it, so it's an M with a dot, which makes an ng sound.
Ah, okay.
Yeah, so it's not hum, or hum, as I've heard sometimes chanted. No, it's hung. If you write it phonetically, it's H-O-O-N-G, hung. Though it's spelt in English, H-U-M.
Mm.
And that's R in the middle, which is spelt how?
A-H.
A-H, yeah. These three words have very strong origins way, way back in the edge of the Vedic tradition or Vedic tradition, and are used particularly in Vajrayana Buddhism. So it's a piece of the Vajrayana that we've borrowed, a piece of Tibetan Buddhism that we've borrowed, that Sangharakshita has brought into our tradition. What I'm going to go through with you is some traditional understandings of this for you to make with as you will. Okay? So where do we say them and when do we say them? At the end of what?
The salute to the shrine.
Yeah, after we saluted the shrine.
Yeah.
We say them after we saluted the shrine. So before, when we salute the shrine, we say Namo Buddhaya, so homage to the awakened one. Namo Dhammaya, homage to the teaching. And Namo Sanghaya, homage to the community of practice. Namo Nama, there is nothing greater. Yeah. Om, Ah, Hum. Now, there are four levels at least of meaning for Om, Ah, Hum that we can work with. And you can play with it as you will. In the Tibetan tradition, what they talk about is they talk about the word meaning, the general meaning, the hidden meaning, and the ultimate meaning. Okay?
Yep.
Okay, so the word meaning is when you say them. Om Ah Hum. So Om Ah Hum is the word meaning. And when we write them in English, we write O-M, Ah, and Hum. And we might see them written down on things. You see them on tankas. Often, if you turn a tanka over, like a tanka is those big painted Tibetan images, when you turn them over, on the back, if it's a proper tanka that's been prepared properly, Om, Ah, and Hum will appear on certain parts of the body from the back. So Om is above the crown of the image, of the figure. So for example, if that was a tanka there, that image of Padmapani there. So the Om would be behind the head, the Ah would be under the back of the throat, on the back, and Hum would be over the heart. Which is why, and this is a visual, sorry for the recording, why in many traditions Buddhists do this, Om, Ah, Hum. Yeah. So we're going Om, Ah, Hum. So that's just that level of meaning, the word level. We just say the word. Yeah. And we see the image and we see the shape of it. And we might try and remember the shape. Fine, we do that. Now the general meaning, this is where we start to actually internalize and move from the outside in. This is this moment of moving from seeing the image, reading the words, beginning to actually move inside. So some people, when they actually do that, they visualize those symbols. They visualize them. And they let the visualization have a kind of resonance. Now, by visualization, we don't literally mean see. You might have a sense of white, a sense of red, a sense of blue. Yeah? You might have a sense of an understanding of what they might mean. But you begin to bring that inside. It isn't just a thing that you say and do. Yeah. So that's the general meaning. Now, the hidden meaning is probably what many of us have already been told when we come here. That hidden meaning is the meaning of this is my body, my speech, and my mind. It's, people often go weird. Well, how's this body? How is this body? Yeah. How is this speech? And how is this mind? Yeah. Mind's probably the easiest because in Buddhism, mind is body and heart. Mind and heart together, sorry. Mind and heart together. Bodhi, it's the citta, is mind and heart. So that's the core of us. Yeah. So the mind and the heart intersects with the speech and the body. Body, speech, and mind. The speech is the intersection point between body and where we act from, the heart and the mind. Yeah. This part up here, where we raise our hands, where the Om symbol is, that is about, first, if you like, our body comes because in a way we've chosen this body. We shape this body with our will. We shape this body with our actions. So perhaps that's why that's up there. That's just an idea I had. So body, speech, and mind. Why would we go body, speech, and mind in front of the shrine and then bow? Now, when I say why, I'm actually asking you to speak personally rather than what you think the textbook might say. When you go, you might not even do that part. You might just say Om Ah Hung and bow without using the hands. Why do you do it?
Well, I suppose partly textbook, partly also the way I feel is it's about bringing those parts of myself here and kind of centering myself in that spot. And ideally, I'm bringing my body, well, I already brought my body, my speech, what I say, my mind, and how attentive or present I am.
Mm. I think that's a very fine idea. You're bringing your body, you're bringing your speech, you're bringing your mind present to this moment, but then why do you bow?
Mm. Well, the other thing is in bowing, it's kind of an act of reverence that it's kind of bringing myself here to bow in a way.
Right. So you're bringing yourself together and then bowing. Mm. That's great. Mm. Okay. Now, I suppose you want to know what the ultimate meaning is.
I was just going to say, I have done this, but I don't bow at the end. But that, for me, is supercharging my intention behind each.
Oh, wow. So that action is an action of supercharging.
Yeah.
Yes.
Wow.
Actually, that's...
Yeah.
Mm.
That's a good way of saying
putting it.
Yeah. That's the thing. I was sitting here trying to think of the words, going, I have this really strong sense of it, of what I've... of intention behind it, but no words to explain.
I've got an image from some anime or Last Airbender. It's like,
yeah. And then the white.
Yeah, that's
yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
I really thank you. That's really, really great addition, Shelley. Now we're thinking about Last Airbender. No, that's fantastic because I think that's fair.
Mm.
I think that's a very fair and reasonable reading of why we do that. Mm. It is bringing, as Stephen says, bringing ourselves together, but bringing the best of it together.
Mm. Yeah.
Yeah?
Mm.
Yeah. Just a side note before we do the ultimate. When we do this, do we know what this is? I think a lot of us may have come from the tradition where the hands, sorry for the recording, where you squeeze your palms together and there's no gap between them. You know, and it's a kind of petitionary prayer gesture. Yeah? So this is what you would maybe go to a church and you might put your hands together and praise God this way, with your hands together. Or clasped like this in a petitionary prayer. So again, for the recording, I've grabbed my fingers and intertwined them.
Can you explain that a little bit more? I know it's not the Buddhist kind of take, but I have no understanding of that. So
yeah. So this is a kind of petitionary prayer. It's a kind
that
of big
word means
petition,
asking.
As in to ask
something.
Okay. Right.
Yeah. So please God protect me. Please God forgive me.
Mm-hmm.
It's that kind of. It's a begging
mm-hmm.
gesture.
Okay.
Please don't, or please do, please do.
Mm.
Yeah.
Okay.
We need to remove that from our understanding. Because this, what we're doing, is called the Anjali.
Mm.
It's called the Anjali Mudra. Now, it's got a few parts to it that's important to understand.